Well, I welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our Sunday service on the 12th of July 2020. This day we're looking forward to our evening meeting where Pastor Richard Wigham will be bringing the Word of God to us. This morning we continue in our series on the Ten Commandments. For myself, I feel that this series on the Ten Commandments is vital for the church, and I'm thinking that it ought to be repeated on a regular basis. Not saying once a year, but certainly this message of the Ten Commandments needs to be brought often to God's people. I'm very thankful to Sonal. Sonal's helped us out in so many ways. He's managed to sort out some of my sermons, the recording equipment. He's received Richard Wigham's message. He's putting it on the internet for us this evening. I'm so very thankful to Sonal for all that he's doing behind the scenes and for many others also. This week, we rejoice in the good news that Caitlin is expecting a third baby, and we pray for her, pray that she be kept safe and well, pray for the baby also. So remember Henry and Caitlin in your prayers. We're thankful for Henry for all his hard work during this lockdown time also. But let's remember our brother Ian as well. Ian has a brother, Lionel, in Margate, who is seriously ill. So we pray for his brother, Lionel, and remember Ian and Maureen also. Well, please would you open your Bible with me to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to consider the fifth commandment today. Honour your father and mother. And so as we look at Proverbs chapter 4, reading Proverbs chapter 4, consider the words, listen, my son. Proverbs 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, listen, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the ways of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. And then would you turn back a few pages to Proverbs chapter 1, reading verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Shall we seek God's face in prayer? Let us all pray. Eternal and ever blessed God in heaven, we thank you that we are before your word this morning. It is so good to turn our thoughts and our minds away from things that have been troubling us or distracting us. And it is so good to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits. Lord, we pray that this day, that the meditation of our hearts might be on things which are praiseworthy, things which are noble, things which are of good report, that our minds might be taken up with the very word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all your words are flawless. Every word of God is pure. And we pray that as we come under the authority of your word this morning, we ask, O Lord, that we might have a meek and a quiet and a humble spirit in your presence. We ask that you would meet us, Lord, as we seek your face in the preaching of your word. Father in heaven, we thank you again for our Saviour, a merciful and a faithful high priest at your right hand, We thank you that you have told us that through him we can come boldly into your presence and we can obtain grace and find help in our time of need. And oh Lord, we are a needy people. Lord, there is so much about us, Lord, which is not like you. Lord, there is so much that encumbers us. Father in heaven, help us to throw off those weights which would encumber us and the sin that would so easily entangle us. Help us, Lord, this day to put on Christ, and may we truly run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, Father in heaven, we, Lord, rejoice that we are under your authority this morning. We thank you that the kingdoms of this world belong to you. And Father in heaven, we pray that as we subject ourselves in your presence this day, that, oh God, that you would renew our spirits. We have thought last week of the blessings of the Sabbath day, that we are to hallow the Lord's day, that we are to rest from all of our labours and to find our joy and delight in you. Oh, Father, quicken our spirits this day. And Father, as we remember one another in prayer, as we go through those items on the prayer list in the email sent out, help us, Lord, to, Lord, pray in the Spirit. And Lord, may your Spirit lead us into other areas of prayer. We remember one another. Lord, we have prayed for Richard Wigham and his wife in this past week with the passing of his father. We pray for those who grieve that you would be with them. Be with Richard and Pam. Be with their son, Andrew. Be with Paul, Lord. Father, bless that family, we ask. And, oh God in heaven, we remember also Caitlin as she still grieves the loss of her nan. Be with her. We rejoice in this good news of a new life. Bless her and Henry. We remember Gemma also grieving also. Father, we pray that she would put her hope and trust in you. Be with those friends of our church who are going through difficult times. Oh, Father in heaven, we look to you this day. Lord, be pleased to pour out a blessing upon your word. And Father, we ask for any, Lord, who do not know the Saviour. We ask that even this day that you would bring them to the feet of the Saviour, that they might find life in him. We ask this for Jesus' sake and for his glory, that another jewel in his crown would be given to him this day. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were written on two tablets of stone by the very finger of God. We've considered the first of the first table of the commandments. Remember, there were two tablets, and the first table contained four commandments. These four commandments are all about our worship of the living God. We're not to have any other gods before him. He alone is Lord, and there is no other. He will not give his glory to another. We are certainly not to make a graven image and bow down before it, reducing God to a dumb idol. The Lord has said we are not to take his name in vain. And then last week we considered the need to remember the Sabbath day, that principle of the Sabbath day that has been transferred over to the Lord's day, to worship him, to delight ourselves in him, to give him the glory due his name, resting from our labours one day in seven. And so now we come to the second half of the Ten Commandments. We've thought of the first four, our duty before God, love to God, and now we look at our duty towards our fellow neighbour, love for our neighbour, the last six commandments, the second half of the law. And I would like us to read from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Remember, we have two versions of the Ten Commandments, and the second version is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the first being in Exodus chapter 20. So let's read verse 16. Here God says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This commandment to honour our parents, to respect them, to love them, to submit to them, to reverence them, to obey them. This command is ever more vital in the days in which we are living. It's said that every 5 minutes, one child in either a home or a care home in the UK leaves, flees, sleeps overnight somewhere, one every 5 minutes. It's said that 100,000 children in the UK each year leave home. There are many unhappy homes. We know there's the tremendous problem of teenage suicide. It's said that 20% of all young people, teenage young people, use drugs on a fairly regular basis. I was listening to a report this week about gangs on the radio, and it said that there are 350,000 young people exposed to gang life in the UK. That doesn't mean they're all members of gangs, but they know gang members, the potential recruits. Prostitution amongst young people. We've heard reports recently about sexting, children as young as 6 getting involved in this. Our families in the UK are a mess, many of them are a mess, whilst there are many other good examples also. There's much to concern us. In many schools, there's the tremendous problem of delinquency. Children who are rebellious, who cannot be controlled. So as we turn to this commandment, we see it as foundational and fundamental. The children, right from their early years, should learn to honour authority, to respect their parents. And if that happens in young life, in early life, that will have such a beneficial effect upon the rest of their lives. Now we're going to look at 4 things this morning. First of all, I want to consider the position of this command. Why is it first in the second half of the Ten Commandments? First in the second table. Why first? Why not, for example, you shall not murder first? It's position. Secondly, its performance, the practical outworking of this command. What's prescribed? So first of all, its position. Secondly, its performance. Thirdly, a principle. There's a big principle here about authority that we're going to look at. And then fourthly, its promise. This is the first commandment out of the 10 with promise. And the only commandment with a direct promise. So first of all, let's consider its position. It heads up the second table. The second table runs like this. Honour your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. It's all to do with our relationships with our fellow men, loving our neighbour. But why is this one put first? If you were asked to make a list, would you put honouring your father and mother above not murdering, above not committing adultery? We have to ask, is there an order of importance here? I would say each are equally important. But I do believe that there's a reason why God has put this first, and we're going to consider that. You see, we must say this, that if a youngster with those many years, right from being a toddler to a young child, growing then into a teenager, if that young person, that child, learns to fear their parents, learns to respect them, to love them, to cherish them, not to want to do anything to offend their parents, that will have a wonderful knock-on effect. That's the sort of person who would become a good husband, who would love their wife. That's the sort of person who would be a good wife, who would submit to her husband. That's the sort of person who would be kind and gracious to others. You might have thought in these Ten Commandments that there'll be a command about the relationship between husband and wife. Husbands, love your wives, but it's not there. It's a command about not committing adultery. But there's no specific command about the attitudes between husband and wife, which is the prime relationship in the family, the husband and wife relationship. Why is that not there? Well, again, I say this is foundational. If a person learns to honour their parents and to respect them, well, that will have such an effect upon the type of person and character they will be in marriage. Now, also, we need to say that there must be a link between the first table and the second table. The first table is to do with honouring God. The second table about loving our neighbour. And so we say this here, verse 16, is a link between the two. The fifth commandment in verse 16 is a link between the two. You see, if we're to think about our relationships one with another, and we're to think about what that means in relationship with honouring God, submitting to Him, having no other gods, keeping His day, honouring His name, well, surely we need to have that spirit of submission. And we learn that in the home. Do you see the link? If we're submissive in the home and throughout our lives, honouring our parents and respecting them, well, then that it should be a reflection of how we will honour and treat the living God. So we've considered a little bit about its position, but now its performance. What does it mean to honour your father and your mother? Well, the word honour just means heavy. I would say there's something very weighty about this command. Heavy your father. Give weighty respect. Some have translated it as reverence. Now, that great King Solomon, whilst king, he came into the presence of his mother. She'd been queen. And he bowed down before her. Of course, that doesn't mean that children are called to bow before their parents, literally. But there's the attitude that my father is in this position that God has placed him of authority over me, and my mother also. They've brought me into this world, and I'm under their authority, and I will reverence them, respect them. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect or reverence. Shall we not much more readily be subject to the Father of spirits and live? And so in Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 4, and other early chapters of Proverbs, there's this emphasis on, listen, my son, hear, my son. To honour is to have open ears, to listen to what your parents are going to say, the counsel that they are giving. So if there are young people who are listening to this message, the first way in which you can honour your parents is to listen to their counsel, to respect them in that way. And this is a heavy duty laid upon you. Now, respect positively also means loving and cherishing your parents. And those who love and cherish their parents do not want to do anything to offend them, certainly never want to shame their name. They want to bring honour to their parents. They want their parents to have every reason to feel proud of them. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 to 25. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. What does the Lord want? The Lord wants happy, harmonious relationships between parents and children. And oh, what a privilege, we have to honor our parents, that they might rejoice over us, that they might be thankful that we've sought to honor them, that we've lived for God, that we've obeyed his commandments, that we've been hardworking, that we're not lazy people. How they will rejoice over us as they see character, godly character formed in us. But obviously it's two-way, isn't it? If parents are reckless, if parents are swearers, if parents are lawbreakers, if parents are criminals, if parents are abusers, if parents do not love their children, how can they expect to have respect and honour? It's two-way. And Proverbs 31, verses 27 to 28, we have a picture of the happy home. And this is what we need to pray for. Pray for your fellow Christians. Pray for them as they bring up their children. Pray for their children. Pray for homes where children are older. Pray for this happy, delightful home. Look at this in Proverbs 31, 27 to 28. This is the woman. She watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. You see, the children can learn a lot, an awful lot from the attitudes of the parents. As the husband loves the wife, and that's evident, the children will also recognize all that she does for the family, and they will raise up and praise her and bless her. How we need to work at that in our own homes, and how we need to pray for one another. Let's pray for God's grace, that children might honor their parents and parents might bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. But negatively, having considered the positive, we need to remind ourselves that where there is dishonor and disrespect, great shame is brought to parents. Proverbs 19, verse 26. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Would you want to break the hearts of your children, of your parents' children? Would you want to cause them pain, agony, sleepless nights? You do that by abusing your parents, by mistreating them. Remember that they brought you into this world. Remember how much they've cared for you, how much they've given to you. Remember the place that God has given them in a position of authority over you. Would you want to spurn their love and all that care? Would you want to bring shame to them? Hophni and Phinehas were a tremendous pain to the priest Eli. He warned his sons that they shouldn't act as they did. They were going with the prostitutes. They were defiling the offering in the temple by taking a portion of the meat for themselves, the best of the meat, and giving the worst to the Lord. They caused great grief to their father, and the Lord eventually judged those two young men. You see, it not only brings shame to your parents if you dishonor them, but the Lord is displeased with you, and the Lord's hand will come upon you. So we're looking at the performance of this command, the practical outworkings. What's prescribed? What's prescribed is that you should bring honor, reverence them, and this principally is through obedience. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. The Old Testament command is repeated in the New Testament. Anybody who thinks that the Ten Commandments are a thing just of the Old Testament have got it completely wrong. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Children, obey. So when your parents tell you to wash up, obey. When they tell you to tidy your room, obey. When they ask you kindly to help with the garden, help. Be submissive to them. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, we read this, that we, the children, are to obey in all things. That means you don't chop and choose. It means you don't say, well, I'll do some things that I like that my parents want me to do and other things I won't do. Obey in all things. Of course, there are limits to that. If your parents ask you to do something that is wrong, maybe you have a bad parent who tells you to lie, you do not lie. Or a parent who asks you to steal, you do not steal. Of course, there are limits. But anything that is good and right, we're called to do. Why? Well, we're given a reason in Ephesians chapter 6. For this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is in the Christian home. You're doing in the Lord for his sake. Or you're a Christian and you've got non-Christian parents, but you're doing it for him, for his sake. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for his sake. For this is right. God has established an authority structure, and it begins in the home. And if we don't understand authority in the home, we'll never understand what it means to obey God. We'll never understand what it means to be a submissive in our workplace, to our boss. It's right. Authority is right. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. That's why God has placed parents as custodians of their children. They're to teach them, they're to discipline them, they're to direct them. They have experience, they have wisdom. And God has given this authority because they have this wisdom, but also they love their children. They have a bigger vision and they see things in a more ample way. And so children are called to obey. But then you say, teenager, but my parents just don't understand the world in which we're living. They certainly don't understand my world. They're out of touch. I'd say, think again. They've lived here many years. They often see things in a wider perspective than you, not belittling you. But remember that they seek your good. Yes, they will have faults. And part of your honouring of them will be to be patient with them. They're sinners. But listen to their counsel. Obey their voice. What have they done for you? They brought you up. They've worked hard. They provided food for you on the table each day. Your mother or your father have cooked for you every day. They bought clothes for you. They've probably taken you here and there to this event and that event. If they're Christians, they prayed and prayed for you. They've done so much for you. They've loved you. The least that you can do is to respect and honour them and to do what they call you to do. Not begrudgingly, you see, when it says honour, it's also the spirit in which you do things. It's one thing to obey your parents grudgingly, complaining. The Lord wants you to do it gladly. But I want to remind ourselves now of the seriousness of this command. You see, in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, and in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21, we learned that there were civil implications for disobedience to this law of honouring your father and mother. If a child was delinquent, rebellious, cursing his father and mother, reckless, stubborn, bringing them great shame, then there was the civil penalty of death in the Old Testament days. Now, that law does not apply today, but we must say that if God treated that sin so seriously in Old Testament days. What a deterrent that must have been to children. What a deterrent. We must say this, that on the final day of judgment, when we all appear before God, if we haven't repented and confessed sin and known forgiveness and come to Christ, then all our disrespect and all our dishonouring and all our shaming of our parents will come before the Almighty God, and on that day he will judge us severely. Solomon, he understood how reckless it is for children to live profligate lives. Look what he says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. That's a warning. Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Or Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Do you see how seriously we are to take this commandment of honouring our father and our mother? Now let's remind ourselves that the New Testament reinforces this commandment in the most clearest of terms, not only in Ephesians chapter 6, where the command is repeated, but above all in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 51 to 52. Somebody has said this, that 90% of the life of the Son of God upon the earth, the Son of God, Son of Man upon this earth, can be summarized in being submissive to his parents. You see, we only hear of those 3 years of ministry where he's preaching and teaching, and the rest of his life is summarized as a life of submission to his parents. What do we read? They've been up to Jerusalem, they come back. And we read this, then he went down with them, with his parents, and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. Jesus was subject to his parents. This is awesome. Here is the one who is the very Son of God. Here is the one who stands above the law, in that he is the giver of the law, but he puts himself under the law. He obeys all of the commands, including this command to be subject to his mother and his father-in-law. Sorry, his stepfather, his mother and his stepfather. Glad obedience, not once murmuring and complaining. And the Bible teaches us that he learned obedience. As his parents taught him, he would learn from them and learn to obey, but never once disobedient. And so we come to our Lord Jesus Christ, dying upon that cross, after 33 years of showing respect and honor to his parents. And there's his mother there. And he's not thinking of himself upon the cross, he's thinking of his mother. He's in agony, he's in pain, he's bearing the sin of many. And yet he considers his mother and he says, Mother, looking at John, he says, Behold your son. And he says to John, Behold your mother. He's entrusting his mother to the care of John. He's honoring his mother in his last dying breath. He's concerned that she will be looked after. Yes, he's got brothers and sisters, but he knows that she needs a special care, and he knows that John, the beloved disciple, will look after her well. How our Saviour honoured his parents. Yes, honouring is a lifelong commitment. Right through to adulthood. Do you remember the passage in Matthew, in Mark 7 and Matthew 15, where Jesus talks about the commandment of honouring your father and mother, and has to say to the Pharisees, you may be grown up men, but you're disobeying this command. What you're doing is trying to get around the commandments of God by establishing the traditions of men. You've got this tradition where you dedicate money to the temple and you call it Korban. And if that money is dedicated to the temple and you've called it Korban, then it cannot be used for any other use. And sometimes you take the money of your parents and you dedicate it instead of it being used for them. And sometimes you use your own money and you dedicate it when you should have been using that money to support them, and you use that as an excuse for not honouring your father and your mother. They're old. There's no social security. They need help. But you just want to show that you're religious and you give to the temple and you dedicate their money and your money to the temple, neglecting your own parents. Yes, of course, there's a difference when we come out of those teenage years. We come into adulthood, we're 18 years of age, and it's not so much the obedience in every single thing that our parents tell us to do, but there's always that honour. And when we get married, yes, we leave and we cleave, and it's a different unit, but we continue to honour our parents till our dying day. So we've considered the performance of that command. But thirdly, a principle. I want to reiterate the big principle that's here. The big principle is submission to authority, subjection to those who are over us. Abraham, he stood at the head of the Jewish race, and God said to him that he had known him in order that Abraham might command his children and household over after him. God was saying, Abraham, I've known you in order that you will rule your family. You will teach them my commandments. You instruct them. The generations to come would fear and honor me. God's intent was that his people would be a holy nation, pleasing him. Brothers and sisters, let's remind ourselves that this is what God calls us to do. Fathers, rule in your families with love, but with the word of God. Expect obedience from your children. How often we fail in this area. Pray that the Lord would give us grace and help in this. And let's remind ourselves that the principle is this: subjection to authority. You see, in Ephesians 6, where this command is repeated, it's all in the area of submission to authority. First of all, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, church members being submissive to one another. In the marriage relationship, the wife being submissive to her husband. Then children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then employees to employers, servants to masters, be submissive to them. Are we submissive people? Do we understand the principle of submission? In the world, there's little respect for authority. Think of how politicians are spoken of. Think of how our prime minister is treated by the press and by the public, by the newspapers. 2 Timothy chapter 3 reminds us of this, that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. There's no respect for authority. And it tells us that in the last days, people will be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, slanderous, without natural affection. That's man as he is, in his sin, with a sinful nature, unregenerate man. That's what we're to expect, disobedient to parents. No natural affection, no natural bonds. There's not that kindness of parents to children and children to parents, without natural affection. And there'll be people who are slandering authorities. And there'll be this unthankfulness, this ingratitude. That's man in his sin. How we need to teach the fifth commandment: honour your father and mother. If respect is there in the home, it will be there in the church for leaders. It will be there in society, for those in positions of authority at different levels. Let's pray that as God's people, we'll be so different to this world that people would see our meekness and our respect and our honouring, and they would see our families as different, that this would speak so loudly into the world around us. Somebody has said this: in the home, the father is to be a priest and the mother, in that they pray for their children. The father is to be a prophet and the mother, in that they are to teach their children. The father and the mother are to act as kings as they rule over their children. The Christian family is to be a microcosm of the kingdom of God. How we need grace for that. And so we come to our final point, the promise. We've considered the command, its position, its performance, then a principle, the principle of submission to authority that should run through every area of our lives. And then lastly, its promise. Now it's fascinating, isn't it, that this is the first commandment and the only commandment with promise. There's promise of reward and it's a promise of grace. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, it says this: honour your father and mother that you would live long in the land. It was a particular promise to the Israelites. God was giving them an inheritance. They were going through the wilderness and they were coming to the promised land, and the Lord was saying, this is your land. And if your children should honour you and they will learn to fear me, then this land will be perpetually belonging to you. You will live long in this land. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16, those who honour their parents, we're told their days will be long, and it will be well with them in the land that the Lord their God was giving them. You see, it was a particular promise of inheritance to the Israelites. But now what's interesting is this. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, applies these promises to New Testament believers. And he's saying to them that if you honour your parents, there'll be a quality of life, just as it says, it will go well with you. There'll be a quality of life, but also he says that there'll be a quantity of life. Now that's not an absolute principle. Abel honours his parents and he was murdered by his own brother. Stephen honoured God and he was murdered by his persecutors. But it seems to be a general principle of those who honour their parents, they will be given long life upon the earth. That's what the command is saying, it's very plain. But surely, ultimately, it's saying this, it's part of the inheritance, the eternal inheritance in the land of heaven that you will enjoy. Your reward will be fullest there. So look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Let's look at them again. So obey your parents in the Lord, this is right. Honour your father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Have you taken that seriously? What a promise God gives. What incentive God gives. God sees that the home is the basic unit, the foundation of society. And this is the place where prosperity comes for you and your family, and that would have a knock-on effect for society. It will go well with you, and you will live long on the earth. So brothers and sisters, as we come to a close now, let's give thanks to God for this wonderful promise that he has given to us. Let's confess our sins. Let's confess our failings when we haven't honoured our parents, not sufficiently thought of them in their old age. In their old age, you need to make provision for your parents. Maybe that you bring them into your own home. Maybe you find a suitable care home for them. But maybe we've been negligent. We haven't thought sufficiently of them. We haven't visited them enough. Let's confess where we have failed and broken this law. And let's remember that ultimately, this law can only be fulfilled in Christ. You see, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You can only do this by his power and by his strength. So the first thing we need is a renewed heart. We need to be changed on the inside. We need to know the forgiveness of sin. So let us come to the cross of Jesus, where there is free forgiveness of sin. Let us ask him afresh to cleanse us from all of our sin. And may, as his law is written upon our hearts, may we, by grace, be enabled to fulfill this wonderful commandment. Sometimes our choices that we make may be difficult for our parents, but always we'll seek to honour them. Sometimes, because of love of God, some people might say that we're not honouring our parents. When we went to Brazil, some people may well have said, well, you've got parents, you're leaving them at home. What is that going to do to your parents? And sometimes our choices are difficult for our parents. But we need to continue to honour them. When we went to Brazil, it meant that whenever we came home, we spent a lot of long quality time with our parents. If we're to keep this command, I would suggest to you that it's this: loving God first, and then loving your neighbour as yourself, considering that your closest neighbour is your father and your mother who bore you. If you love, by grace, you'll fulfil this command. And so to close, I quote Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Even when you're older, remember the things that she's taught you. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck. You want to be beautiful. You want to be honoring. Well, listen to godly parents and obey them, and God will bless you. Amen.